Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore global diversity and engagement officer at PepsiCo. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And I'm joining from New York area this morning.
Fantastic. Well, first off, how are you? Before anything else, how are you?
I'm lucky to say that, you know, I'm healthy and safe in my home with my family. So, yeah, definitely feeling good about that. But also, you know, I mean, feeling sometimes, you know, heartbroken with all the news, of course, around us, around the globe. So this is one of the most global crises we have observing. I have been in different crisis situations, but this is the most global. So that's kind of, you know, sometimes impacting, you know, your mood and everything. But we are lucky to be safe and healthy. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Before we kind of go into the topic of today's show, tell everyone a bit about yourself personally and your journey to where we are today, because you've had such an interesting journey.
Thank you so much. So I have been with the PepsiCo for 25 years, but broader than that, I mean, I have like close to 35 years of experience in the consumer goods industry around the globe. I started in Turkey, originally from Turkey, Istanbul. Then with PepsiCo, I moved actually to Hong Kong with my family and Dubai and later to US. And I think we are not planning to move anymore. That's it. But I started in marketing. And after that, you know, became a general manager, worked in HR. And then I became actually a CHRO in the Asia, Middle East, North Africa. Before that, I was the Asia Pacific president. So, I mean, many years of P&L experience and also HR experience, and my recent job is in the head office. But net, I think you go through so many different crises around, you know, around the globe in these jobs. And I would really like to say that you learn things, but you never learn enough. So you learn again in this type of a global pandemic, right?
Well, first and foremost, how did that transition happen from marketing to HR?
We have leaders, sponsors, managers who lead you into these decisions at some point in your career, and they are very important. So I had actually two men, I should say, one after the other, who worked with me and leading me into different important career decisions when I was younger and, you know, in the earlier stages of my career. So I was in marketing, and one day there was a major change in the company, and they thought I will be a good fit for the transformation journey and leading HR. So after 10 years of marketing, and I said, you know, it's an interesting time to move into HR for a major culture change. And then after that, actually, that will lead me into general management. So it was a manager's consideration that I took actually in a day, that decision. I was also courageous, I believe. I am happy that it happened. And then I came back later, you know, after 12 years, I came back to HR because my heart always goes for the talent, people, the best talent in the best position, in the right culture. So that's my passion also on the side. But even as a general manager, 50% of your time goes to people, decisions, and matters.
Yes. And that's why we've seen so many leaders from other functions cross over into HR very effectively, because that people management piece is just transferable. Yes, you may need to learn a few other areas in terms of some of the technical stuff, but overall, the vast majority of the time is spent, you know, you're managing through people. So if you can do that effectively, you'll become a very great HR leader. I'm seeing many companies now actually hire chief people officers and CHROs from completely outside of HR. It's becoming very common. I know something you're passionate about, which is one of the reasons obviously we're on the show today, is leading through crisis. And there are some common principles that you've picked up in your career that you use as your foundation. Could you share some examples?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first time I think we faced a major crisis in Turkey was an earthquake in 1999. And we lost, you know, a couple of our employees, but most of them lost their houses. The communities were under a lot of pressure, no homes, no schools. So we had to help also our communities. So the principles are first take care of the people, make sure business continues, and then take care of the communities. I think those are the three things in every crisis we see, you know, the employees, business continuity and communities. As long as I think you are approaching it with that priority list, I think you succeed. And of course, how you do it is also very important. The authenticity, the communication, and also the human aspect of things. So those are the key principles. Then in 2001, I became the general manager for Turkey. We had a major economic crisis. We had 40% devaluation in a day, which was like, you know, impacting the whole year. As you can imagine, your P&L in dollar terms becomes like 40% impacted. So that was another important, you know, moment in time. Then I moved, of course, to other roles. I was in charge of Middle East, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey. So as you can imagine, some of these markets were highly impacted by, you know, wars and other effects. So I was in Lebanon, and, you know, one day there was a bombing of the airport. The airport was locked down. We had to escape the country. So that was another kind of, you know, war, terrorism kind of situation. Moving to Hong Kong, you know, I had a year, 2011. We had 7 disasters in the region, you know, from I can say from earthquakes to tsunamis, but you will all remember, I think, the Japan situation where it started with an earthquake, turned into tsunami and a nuclear explosion. So I was in charge of Asia Pacific in those days, and our focus was helping our partners and employees and communities in Japan. So the principles are the same, as I say, you know, take care of your people, take care of the business, continue to go back to basics of managing the business. That's very important. You can't be in a very complicated or complex situation. Go back to basics and then take care of your communities. And today, that's what we are doing again as PepsiCo in this time of the pandemic.
It seems to be a common theme that, with you in these situations. Is it something that you're passionate about and that you keep putting yourself? Because a lot of those roles, maybe people would be, you know, run away in the other direction, because they're very challenging. It seems that all the different countries and regions, you seem to thrive in that environment. Is that intentional, or is that your leadership team saying, we know who the right person is?
I mean, coming out of Turkey, I think I always feel like we are European, Middle Eastern, and Asian. I mean, that's kind of our roots, where we come from and our history. So I always felt like, you know, when I was offered these roles, I felt that cultural attraction to the Middle East jobs and later to the, you know, South Europe president role, Asia Pacific president role. I have that cultural, I think, understanding and appreciation for those places. And at the end of the day, I think it's about business growth, but the people and the culture, you know, and how you can succeed. And I use some of my leadership principles, actually. It's about listening, understanding, empathy, and then making sure you create respect and trust, but also always get and give support. So if I am in a difficult situation, you know, I was not afraid of asking support from my manager, family, peers. So in 2004, I moved actually into this role of the East Mediterranean, Middle East, the countries I mentioned, and I was actually just coming out of maternity leave for my second son. So I had two basically young kids at home, and I had to accept this job and travel. So it was a tough decision, but I trusted, you know, the system, my manager, my family. And I think sometimes, yeah, I mean, I'm courageous with these opportunities. Yeah. And that's what I always say, you know, have an open mind. If you want to develop, if you want to have new experiences, have an open mind and just take it, go and test it. If you don't like it, there is always a way out. But I mean, most of the time, my decisions were good for me, good for my family. And I'm also very grateful that my husband and two boys, they were with me throughout this journey, you know, moving from one country to another. Mm-hmm. That family support is also very important.
Going back to those 3 pillars you mentioned during a crisis, mm-hmm. What does it mean when you say supporting your employees? What does that look like? What are some of the practical things that you're doing, that you did, that people listening can perhaps do now and take away?
Absolutely. Yeah, especially in this special, situation of a global pandemic. We are in the consumer goods category. We are part of the essential supply chain. So in most countries, except India in the beginning, you know, we had to continue our operations in terms of manufacturing, moving and selling our products, foods and beverages. mainly, you know, throughout the supermarkets and small shops around the country. So that put pressure, of course, on our frontline operations. We had to make sure our employees were safe. They were having all the, you know, protective equipment. They were able to move around in a safe way. But also, if they tested positive, we had to take care of them in terms of their, you know, benefits. If they had loved ones, you know, to take care of, again, support them. So we had to review the safety of employees, the benefits of employees, and also the incentives, extra incentives for the frontline. But there are people like me that are working from home, you know, out of it, more than 260,000 organization, maybe 150,000 and more will be in the field, but the rest will be working from home. So in those situations, we had to take care of the technology, you know, communicating with the video conferencing tools and also collaborative tools, working on, you know, open space in terms of documents, but also making sure take care of the childcare, you know, challenges, working from home challenges, well-being, you know, how do we make sure people are keeping, you know, active, exercising, offering them those also dimensions. So I'm proud of, you know, what we have been doing in terms of our associates. Of course, it's not easy if you're in the front line or even at home, you know, but I think people are very appreciative. In our latest survey, we have seen that they are very happy with the communication, tools and benefits, and how we are, you know, leading this crisis. So I'm happy to report that.
I know something you're very passionate about based on our last call is now more than ever, we've become more human during these conversations. Before we get to the business on Zoom, we can have a chat, you know, how we are. And the one thing I know you're worried about, and it's me too, is can we sustain that authenticity and bring in our full selves? Because, you know, now we're seeing our CEOs at home in the living room with their kids. Yes. We're seeing, you know, Robin runs in my room quite often to say hello to everyone. But can we sustain that real human, authentic connection and vulnerability after this? What do you think about that?
I think we have been talking about it for many years. I think like authentic leadership. I mean, I attended trainings like in 2007, 2006, you know, we have been talking about it, and I always believe that it's so important if you want to become really a great leader, inclusive leader, diverse, caring for diversity kind of leader. But now it's happening. And I mean, like, crisis sometimes drives these things that you have been working on for many years, like authentic leadership, working from home, using technology, digitization. You know, we have been talking about these things for many years, and now it's happening because you have to have it. I mean, like, that's it. So I think definitely they will stay. Some of them will stay, maybe not 100%, but I have the hope that, you know, most of these trends will stay, and that's for good. You know, we will see more authenticity, need for communication, need for transparency. If you go back all of a sudden to the normal and start not showing this, people will say, you know, it was not sincere then. You know, they will question your integrity. So you can't do that. I mean, it's out there. Now we have to balance going back slowly, keeping some of these good things and making sure that our employees are really benefiting from those in the new reality.
Yeah. And we also need to support our leaders, because for them, this is also unprecedented for them.
Yes.
Having to lead. I found it challenging, I'll be honest. Like,
yes.
Yeah, and I run a small team. So a lot of people, our leaders aren't prepared for managing a remote workforce. Do you think that this crisis is going to move the D&I agenda forwards or backwards?
Yeah, I think we have to be cautious, because there is always risk in these situations. You know, the agenda might go backwards, because if companies are going through restructuring and, you know, changing their organization structures, laying off people, there is risk that, you know, whatever the progress you made in terms of numbers might go back. So it's very important to keep an eye on that. Of course, you know, you will look at the org design, you will look at, you know, the performance and who you need, who not. But you always need to make the impact analysis and make sure, you know, you don't go back very fast, because it can be very fast. You know, what you build in 3 years, 5 years might be just gone in a month.
Yes.
So that's that's a critical watch out for our leaders, I think. But in terms of positives, I think inclusive leadership in a new environment, the virtual environment,
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
It's becoming so much of a new learning and understanding. And also people really, I think they try their best. You know, in the past, maybe in the virtual meetings, people were not showing their faces as much. Now you see a lot of more, you know, visual contact, which is important, especially, I mean, some companies do not allow, etc. I can understand the reasons, whatever, but if you're allowed to use the video, it's a good thing to use the video, then you should be able to ask everybody in the meeting to have an opinion. So those inclusive leadership behaviors, I think, are tested again in this environment. And we see a lot of new learnings, new skills, capabilities, and we are supporting also with actually some development programs. But I think we have the chance of seeing an improvement, but also a decline. So we have to watch out. We have to be aware. I think everything is about awareness. You know, what can be the impact? And yeah, then taking action. I think that's the role of the leaders.
Yeah. I asked that question because I've seen both sides, like you just said. I've seen some organizations just kind of put the D&I agenda on the back burner. You know, it's not important right now. Whereas I believe more than ever, it's important. And it does concern me. What would you say to companies that are doing that are putting DNA on the back burner and feel that it's not a priority right now?
My personal belief about diversity and engagement or inclusion agenda, it's part of everybody's job, actually. So in an ideal world, you don't need my role.
Yes.
What does it mean? You know, like it's every leader's job. It's every HR leader's job. And I mean, like it's everybody's job. But unfortunately, of course, you know, it doesn't happen in the way we want. So we have these roles, reports, and everything else, which is fine. And we will see, you know, how we can make it. I think that's my goal. And it should be the goal of all of us. Like, how do you make it everybody's life, reality, management style, etc.? So the good thing I'm observing during this time, what did we say? You know, the first focus is employees, second business continuity, third community. So that employee focus, what I'm seeing in the company, everybody is really caring about how to make sure employees are safe, you know, working with motivation, you know, they have health, but also well-being, mental health, etc. So there is a lot of focus on employees. I think that's a good thing.
Great.
Now, yeah, in terms of numbers, I mean, because some part of our role is also making sure the representation of diverse communities, I think we are the gatekeepers there. You know, we make sure we measure the scorecards, etc. We remind people. So that's our role. And that's, of course, the diversity leader's role. In these situations, we have to still talk about it. We have to still remind people that, you know, as we are hiring, you know, we have to make sure we keep an eye on it, because there are, if you are hiring as a company in this environment, and we are in the front lines, I know that there is a lot of pressure, of course, you know, to find even people to go out and sell the products. But we want to make sure that we remind, you know, we keep an eye on it. I think that's important. But in terms of employee focus, I see a lot of, you know, focus and care. So that's going to pay off in a good way.
Yeah. And let's hope it continues after.
Yes, yes.
It shouldn't take a crisis.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, for us, yeah, to react that way. You mentioned on the last call that there's an underlying situation that needs to be addressed. What is that?
You know, what's happening around the globe at this point is talent pool already, it was, I mean, the good talent, everybody was focusing on it. It was already tight. So how the talent pool is going to be impacted after the situation, because some people will be out of jobs, good people, you know, I mean, like capable people will be out of jobs. So in that sense, you might have more talent for a while if you are in a hiring position. But also, you have to make sure that the people in your company are feeling good and motivated. Because if you actually don't use this opportunity in a good way, you can lose your people after a year because they have seen what's happening, you know, how you. So it's a test for both sides, you know. It's a test for your employees. It's a test for the leaders and the companies. So people will remember. Because now they need the job.
People remember, yes.
Yeah, I mean, now they need the job, they will stay. But if you didn't treat your people well during crisis time, in a year or so, when the job market is open, they will remember and they will move on. So it's very important that I think whatever we do now is really taking care of our people in a sincere way, in an authentic way, and making sure that they understand, they hear, but also we hear them. So surveys become very important in this time. I mean, you will remember the survey approach was, you know, maybe every 2 years, every 1 year. Yeah. Now I think it's like every week, you know. So it's a continuous listening that we need to do, actually. Of course, you don't need to listen to everybody every week, but I mean, with the right statistical approach and sampling approach, I think you can listen and you can check on people and see where the challenges are. I think the good news, if you are doing a lot of great stuff for your employees, they will see that. But their stress level may not be still as positive as what you do, because that's a bigger ecosystem, right? I mean, the companies might do a lot of great things and employees will appreciate that. But in terms of how you see the world, there will be still some pessimism because you don't know what's happening in the next 3 months, 1 year or 3 years. Are you going to have a job or not? I think people will have all those anxieties, even their health. You know, am I going to be healthy next month or not? Is this, you know, virus coming back? So how am I going to use a public transportation if I need to go to jobs? And I mean, like, there are so many questions. Whatever we do as companies, leaders, you know, some of them will stay and still bother people. So I think their stress levels, you know, will be there to a certain extent, high. But our job is to offer them the tools, you know, the exercise, meditation, I don't know, whatever they like. I like singing, for example. So if I can sing, if I can enjoy music, I mean, that gives me some, you know, positive energy. So everybody needs to find a way of either walking in the nature, running, whatever. Yeah. I think we need to support some of those well-being tools and tips.
Yeah. When you did your first survey, could you share some of the insights? What's the main feedback from your employees in terms of either concerns or what they needed for support?
I think they were very happy with the communication, tools and resources regarding the situation. What we have observed, some people are having challenges with the work-life balance. And
there's
that,
no breaks. There's no...
Exactly,
like,
yeah. And that's creating... I mean, exactly. I mean, even if the company is offering a lot of tools, you need the time to deal with the tools, right? I mean, or use the tools. I think it's a matter of, I mean, that's a reality. Even if you are offering, you know, many, many, many things, still, you know, at the end of the day, the work-life balance is a little out of, you know, proportion, depending on how many people you have in the house, what is the size of your house, who is taking care of the kids, and I mean, can you share responsibilities? I mean, this is a good moment also to check the family dynamics, because I mean, like you said, you are sharing the responsibilities, which is great, but it may not be the case for every household. So depends on who is taking maybe the higher responsibility in childcare, and also if they are working. So it's very unique. Every employee has a unique situation.
There's no playbook for this.
And, so that's kind of creating some anxiety, especially we have seen, you know, women in the ages of 30 to 40, they feel that pressure more than others.
Do you think that COVID, like the lockdown, would impact the opportunities for minorities in terms of employment and career growth?
I mean, as a company, let's say, we have a long history of diversity and it's part of kind of our DNA. And the reason is because we are a consumer goods company. Our objective is to represent our consumers and customers in the organization. So there is a very natural reason for us. And we want to make sure that, you know, we can represent the talent pool in line with the population, in line with the professional workforce availability, in terms of, you know, the labor force availability. So we look at all those metrics and we are realistic. You know, if one state has more African Americans and the other one has more Hispanics, you have to reflect that reality. I mean, at the end, you can't just create a hypothetical population. I mean, whatever is the population, yeah, the consumer, the customer, the objective is to reflect that in your organization. So that's mm-hmm. the starting point. And the woman agenda has been a global one, because the reality is, you know, on the average, every country has a 50% woman. It can be 49, 51, whatever. But then not having that consumer base, talent base in your organization is not the right thing to do. So that's a very natural reason why we want to bring the woman into the organization, of course, with the right support and everything. So we have goals, we have long-term goals, we have annual goals, we have quarterly scorecards, we track all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you have to be realistic. Do you have the I mean, of course, the competency, the best talent, the skills, I mean, they are key. You can't just get people because they are, you know, of a certain cohort, they are female, etc. You know, it is the combination of both. Yeah. Represent the consumer customer, but get also the best talent. So that's the role of the leaders and HR and, you know, whoever is hiring. You have to take care of both. And our job here is make sure, you know, we have the goals, the scorecards, we give the right guidance to the organization.
Yeah, I think the main thing people are worried about is that will minorities struggle to get jobs as recruiters rush to fill vacancies?
That's a risk. If you're hiring, exactly. Yeah. If you're hiring and if there is pressure and if tomorrow you have to be on the, you know, market selling products, absolutely there will be. So what are the strategies that you can apply? I mean, you have to be prepared with a talent pool, some, you know, the names in your pocket, always. Talent mapping, you call it, or, you know, people that you are in touch with. So if you don't have that preparedness in terms of recruitment, there will always be a rush, you know, in times of crisis, etc. So the organizations should be prepared with people in their either mapping work or in their pool to call upon. So that's important. But in terms of also different communities, if you look at especially US, we are seeing that different communities are impacted in different ways. We see more cases with African American population and unfortunately more deaths, unproportionately Hispanic people losing maybe jobs in the service industry, again, in a different way. And then the Asian Americans here getting, unfortunately, the impact of the racism, given that, you know, where the virus came from, debates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, every cohort is impacted in a different way. And our job is to make sure that we stand with those organizations who are supporting these communities. And globally, I'm sure you have similar examples from UK mm-hmm. or other places where minorities might be impacted because, you know, maybe they don't have as good the educational or nutritional, you know, situations. I mean, so community support in these cases, I think, like of the global crisis or pandemics, I think you need to make sure the community support addresses those challenges. So we are actually working on how we can identify those communities under more stress and help them beyond our workforce. I mean, it's about the community support.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. I think a lot of people have that concern. We've got quite a few questions, and that actually has come up quite a few times in the last few days of the concern, will this impact minorities as companies rush to fill roles in particular sectors? There are companies, you know, for example, that I'm speaking to that are hiring in the thousands at the moment.
Food
delivery companies, for example.
Exactly.
And I'm worried that's going to be impacted. But I think, as you said, if you're prepared and you have the right systems and processes in place, you should already have that pipeline that you can tap into now as well. So
exactly, that's important. Needed.
What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge for yourself and your peers in the coming years or moving forward outside of this?
I mean, first of all, I think the world is becoming more and more, let's say, diverse, global. People are, immigrating from one place to another. So that the openness of the mind in terms of recruitment, leaders, building their teams is very important. But also as an employee, I would say, I have to continuously develop myself, learn new skills, be up to date, be recruitable, because you see how things are changing even in such a short while. So we talked about technology, digitization. So learn new skills, update yourself. And from the company's perspective, I believe we have to help that journey. If we have the means, we just launched actually the degree platform and pathways. So we are offering a lot of different, tools, resources for our. I mean, we had for many years PepsiCo University doing a lot of great stuff, but now it should be tailor-made. It should be specifically targeting you because I don't want to have a mass training. So those are the things I believe going forward, we will be all more prepared for future crisis, future employability, and also making sure that we even focus on reskilling people who might be losing jobs in one sector but might have opportunities in other sectors. So I work with the World Economic Forum, and we have the Future Council on Future of Work and Employability. Reskilling is the main focus area, but not only within the company. I think it should be across industries. And what does it mean for the education system? How are we going to teach our people to be agile in terms of adapting to new realities and new jobs?
Well, that's a whole new conversation as well to get into in terms of
I know.
it's been interesting because one of my neighbors is a teacher, and she's both on a call teaching a class whilst her son's next to her receiving a class. So she's a teacher, and it was just interesting because I walked past and I could see we've got a balcony, we can see and say hello. So yeah, I'm doing a class, and my son's next to me taking a class from his teacher, and it was just such a unique, we're such a new world of work we operate in. I was like, wow, so you're sitting next to your son, both teaching a class and learning at the same time. It's such a
Absolutely,
strange. But
absolutely.
before we wrap up, I want to jump into our quick fire round. So we do a quick fire round with every guest where I ask you a few questions, and you've got no longer than 30 seconds to give us some amazing answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Yeah, you wasn't expecting this one.
Yeah.
So what was the number one thing that was holding you back from becoming a senior leader?
Yeah, I think I came from one function, specifically marketing, and moving into general management was like, now you are not a marketeer anymore. You have to make sure that you understand and respect every function and voice and make the right decision. So moving from that one functional leadership role to a broader role was like, sit back and don't spend too much time with your marketing people, but spend time with others. That was important.
I know how that feels, by the way. Because I was a sales director for so long, and then I had a wider responsibility, but I wanted to be in
Yes,
my sales
yes.
myself, guys. I
Uh-huh,
completely relate to you on that one. What's the best piece of business advice that you've received?
I think the focus on our customers and partners and listening them and understanding their needs, and having a win-win strategy in all these different cultures, because our business has a lot of franchise partners, and if you just take care of your own business but not take care of your partners, you can fail. So I think the ecosystem, taking care of the ecosystem is very important. We always talk about consumers, customers, employees, shareholders, but in businesses like ours, we have also partners that we have to take care of. And I'm sure this is more and more the case for every business. You have others in the supply chain that you need to take care of. In this environment, if you don't take care of your supply chain today and before even, you might be in trouble because you need stuff at a certain pace that, you need those good relationships and you can ask for support in tough times.
Yeah, very important one, and I'm sure, unfortunately,
Yes.
overlooked at many points as well.
Yeah.
What's some a book do you'd recommend to our audience, and why? Doesn't have to be HR or D&I related.
No, I mean, I always talk about True North by Bill George, and I think that's the book I like because it talks about authentic leadership. I read it many years ago. I can read it again. you spend time on yourself, understand your experiences and develop your leadership values, and you really test yourself in tough situations, you know. And this is a great moment to understand yourself. How do you act, behave in times of crisis? What are your leadership values? And then people will see that also. So True North, I would say, is the book that I liked and will recommend.
Amazing. I'll have to read that myself. I'll link that in the description, everyone. And could you share some in terms of your own personal learning or your go-to, what some online media resources that you tap into?
Yeah, I mean, I try to be quite active, you know, on the social media, but that gives also an opportunity to read many things on social media. I mean, of course, it can be something like New York Times, it can be Harvard LinkedIn. Business Review.
I know you're on LinkedIn quite as well.
I mean, LinkedIn, I definitely, that's what I'm saying. Like LinkedIn, I read, but also it takes you to other places, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I find interesting researches from the companies they are conducting, it can be the consultancy companies, you know, they put their stuff on LinkedIn. So I find definitely, you know, social media, LinkedIn, etc., very helpful in terms of finding what you're interested in and reading it and go deep.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I mean, it's a new world of learning. You don't learn from like, okay, I have to now go and take this 3-hour course, but you are learning in bite sizes, micro learning, and also sharing with others your thoughts and learning even more. So that's what I like. The dynamism of, I think, social media learning is good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's exactly why I started the show.
Yeah, I mean, this is great because in an hour you can really talk about many things in an authentic way. And then, you know, if people are interested in like three things coming out of this conversation, they will go deeper and search for it and understand better.
No,
so thank you for what you do. I mean, I think this is great and in line with the new trends, and we need more of that.
I've got one more question, and this one's going to be an easy one for you. What's the number one thing about your job and your business that you're most excited about?
I think bringing the potential in people for growth and innovation. And this can only happen with diversity and including that diversity in the decision-making.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I can't wait to meet you in person. Hopefully this is all over soon and we can say hello and come out and meet you as well. And before we wrap up, if there's sort of one parting piece of advice you'd give to your peers out there, what would that be? And then where's the best place for everyone to connect with you if they want to reach out and say hello?
Yeah, first of all, I think we cannot let go the diversity and inclusion agenda in tough times. We have to stick to it. And as the professionals in charge, we have to bring it in the right way to the right people and continue the conversation and the focus. So that's our job, even in tough times, find the relevancy and act on it.
It's everyone's job as well, right? It's
everyone's
not just,
job. I mean, that's job. Basically what I feel even before the crisis, and our diversity report, PepsiCo report, says that, you know, as long as we need these reports, we still need progress. I mean, it should be everybody's job. It should be the natural, you know, leader's role. In terms of how to connect, as you said, I'm very, you know, active on LinkedIn. I will be happy to connect and make sure that, you know, I can share my opinion or learn from others. But that's a good platform. So thanks to you and thanks to LinkedIn and LinkedIn Live, I think we can share our ideas and opinions. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, appreciate you taking the time to join us. Everyone on LinkedIn, thank you so much for tuning in and spending your time with myself and Arun today. We appreciate you taking the time out to join us here on LinkedIn Live. If you're new to the show, please head over to hrdleaders.com/podcast. You can subscribe on your favorite platform. We're everywhere, so you can choose whatever one you want. We'll see you all again tomorrow. As always, apart from that, Umran, enjoy the rest of your day.
And
I look forward to seeing you again soon, okay?
Bye.
See ya. Bye.